Dear brothers and sisters, when you visit the countryside, you see one farmer's fertile field where anything planted grows well. Whether it's radish, cabbage, green onion, or lettuce, all vegetables thrive. Planted fruit trees bear abundant fruit. Each season brings forth new vegetables and fruits, and the farmer's household always has plenty to eat. The farmer sends some of the harvest to his children who live far away, shares with neighbors, or sells it at a good price. But for some farmers, their field is barren. No matter what is planted, it doesn't grow well. Fruit trees wither before it fully grows, and vegetables sprout little before it begins to wither and die. This is the difference between a fertile and a barren field. I mean, these days you might, you know, easily think, people have money these days, like it's easier to buy food just at the markets. But back in the day, and especially in the countryside, you know, money wasn't that prominent. And even these days in the countryside, a lot of farmers and those who have fields and cattle, they use their own livestock and they use the natural fruits and the natural wheats, the crops that they grow, and use that as food. And, you know, if you have a field, but you don't cultivate it and you let it go, then it becomes a barren field and it decreases the amount of food that you put on the table. So this kind of example is similar to our own heart fields, a person's heart. When the word of God is sown, some heart fields bear abundant fruit of truth that also benefits others. No matter how much of God's word is sown, some heart fields show little difference, as if nothing had been planted. What does that mean? It means that even though you live a Christian life, you don't bear any fragrance of Christ at all. It's almost as if you don't go to church. It's like no one knows you're a Christian. And that's the same with our fragrance of Christ that we share and our heart fields. What kind of heart field do you desire to have? Surely you'd want a field that bears abundant fruit. I pray in the name of the Lord that all your hearts may be cultivated into a fertile field and bear rich fruit from all that's sown. Jesus categorized the hearts of those who receive the word of God into four types. Jesus likened the hearts to a path, a rocky ground, a thorny ground, and good soil. The closer your heart is to good soil, the quicker the truth of the word sprouts and grows to bear abundant fruit, spiritually and physically. If you're to cultivate, should you not aim to bear 30, 60, and 100 times the harvest? To do so, you must cultivate the heart field and turn it into good soil before sowing the seed. To cultivate a field into good soil, you must first identify its current condition. And that way you can determine the tools needed for cultivation. What if, you know, you had a field where there were hidden rocks or stones under the field, under the soil, then you would need a specific, you know, tractor or a toil or an excavator to get rid of the stones first before you plant. If you've got lots of rubbish in the field, then you need to, you know, get rid of the rubbish first. Depending on what kind of condition your soil is, what kind of condition your field is, depends on the tools needed to cultivate. So if you've got a rocky ground and you don't think your heart is a rocky ground, then you're unable to bear fruit because you don't have the tools, you don't have the knowledge required to pre-cultivate the land. So you need to know where your heart is, what kind of condition your heart field is, and how to start cultivating it. The rocky ground, the path, the rocky ground, the thorny ground, or good soil are your four types of field. If they were ranked, you might think, you know, there's a ranking of what's best and what's the least. The path-like field would be the furthest from good soil and the poorest in condition for bearing fruit. The rocky ground is slightly better and the thorny ground is better than the rocky ground. But a person's heart doesn't always fit into these four types. The four fields or soil represent general heart fields. In reality, most hearts contain a mix of the characteristics found in each four types. Instead of thinking that you don't fall into any of these categories, check to see if any of the four soil traits are present within you. The first heart field is the path. It's the poorest condition. It's the furthest away from the good soil. And of course, it's a stubborn heart field. So don't think that it's not you. You might have certain characteristics of a path-like field within you. Even if you don't, you know, what if you're in the process of becoming like a path-like field? You need to reflect upon yourself and be cautious and make sure that you're not turning your heart field into a hardened path. Don't just neglect or think that it has nothing to do with you, because if you do that, you might stop, you might be stagnant in your faith. So even if it's not the best heart field and you don't think it's you, you still need to listen. And don't stumble, don't waver, don't get disappointed if you do find characteristics of a path-like field in your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit, ask for help so that you can get rid of any path-like characteristics so that you can be transformed into good soil. Just because you have a path-like field doesn't mean you can't be transformed. You can. You have the chance, you have the opportunity to be transformed into good soil, which is why these sermons are being preached. Father God knows that there is an opportunity to be transformed. Today is the path-like field, a rocky. The latter part of Matthew 13, verse 3 and verse 4 says, "Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up." When a farmer sows seed, some inevitably fall along the path beside the field. In the old days, roads were not well paved, so the distinction between field and path was often unclear. These days, you've got, you know, like a cement footpath, and you can see the clear difference between a field and the actual cement paved a pavement. But back in the day, and a lot of our young adults, our young ones, might not fully understand. They may have, depending on how old you are. But back in the countryside in Korea, quite, you know, a few years ago, a lot of the time, a farmer's field and the actual path was very similar. These days in the city, you'll see like a grassy area or a dirt area right next to a cement pavement. And you can see the clear distinction. So this kind of seed would be thrown onto the field, but some of the seeds would have fell onto the path-like field. So when people walked alongside the field, it became a natural footpath. Most of the time, farmers used to scatter seed by hand, and as the seed is sown, some fall outside the field and land on the path. The path, unlike the field, is hard because people constantly walk over it, and when a seed falls on the path, it cannot take root. As the seed doesn't get buried in the soil, it doesn't sprout. So birds come and eat up the seed. This path represents a hardened heart, a stubborn and unyielding heart. It's a heart that does not understand despite hearing the word of God, a heart that cannot believe. The Lord says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." The Lord knocks on each person's heart through his word. He makes known that God is alive and that He is our Father. Jesus helps us realize His deep love through the providence of salvation and on the cross, and reveals the surety of heaven and hell. Through nature and evangelists, the Lord knocks on each person's heart. But a heart like the path remains closed, refusing to open even when the Lord knocks. For example, relatives who won't even allow you to mention God's word when you try to share the gospel. But the path, we've got lots of, evangelistic newspapers at our church that are running out. You know, so many people are evangelizing and spreading the gospel using the newspaper, using the magazines. And, you know, I feel very thankful to all of our members, all our leaders, our workers who are evangelizing and spreading the gospel of holiness to people who don't know the word yet. And of course, there are people that don't care, and some people do have a bit of interest, and those people who have interest are ones whose heart, whose doors are slightly opened. And it's, you know, one of the most unfortunate things to hear is when family members and relatives of church members don't want to be transformed, don't want to accept God's word. And it's unfortunate because their relative will go to heaven, but the rest of their family members won't. You know, they can't see each other. But, you know, if these relatives were at least accepting of the God's word and at least enter paradise, then, you know, you would be able to see your family members at least once in a while in heaven. However, if your family members were to enter hell because they didn't accept God's word, not only would you not be able to see them for all eternity, but your family members will live eternity in torment. Of course, when you go to heaven and you have family members that enter hell, you would, you know, the unfortunate feelings would diminish as much. You know, you wouldn't be sad in heaven, but it is extremely unfortunate. This is why we need to spread the gospel on earth while we can. You know, even if they don't listen to it, some family members, they get angry when you mention God and the gospel of holiness, which is very unfortunate. The path like heart field doesn't refer to unbelievers in the world. You know, we're not, the Lord isn't trying to say spreading the gospel and saying, you know, people who don't accept the word are like a path like field and people who accept the word are like good soil. No, it actually refers to believers and those who claim to believe in God. Of course, if you've got a good heart, then you would open your heart when evangelized and come to church. Don't think that people who don't open their hearts are path-like fields. Don't think that those who don't accept the gospel on the whim are a path-like field. You know, the path-like field refers to believers, to Christians who claim to go to church and believe in God. So what kind of Christians have a path-like heart field? Those who come to church on Sundays, but a path-like heart field comes to church but fails to accept God's word in their heart. So, you know, even if when you come to church, it's a time where you listen to God's word and accept God's word and put it in your heart. For myself, I am a pastor. I am a servant of God who spreads the gospel. I'm simply a tool. These are all God's word. But if you only just, you know, come to church without any hope, without any fervor, you just come to church just because, then these are all a path-like heart field. Even though it's a historically proven fact that Jesus came down to earth and all scripture is true, you know, hearts, you don't acknowledge God. No matter how much you hear the word, it's difficult to spiritually understand. You know, every week I have testimonies to read out, but sometimes due to the time restraints, I'm unable to share people's testimonies. So even if so many receive healing works, there are people that don't even try to listen or don't even try to believe. But some of these people have a heart where they somewhat know that God is alive, but try and not believe that God is alive. God the Creator created mankind. And if you don't believe that God is alive, God the Creator, then spiritually, it's a huge negativity. It makes a huge negative impact on your life. Because if you don't acknowledge and accept God the Creator who created mankind, then spiritually, your path is hell. You cannot receive salvation. So when we need to listen and we need to accept the testimonies that are shared on the altar. You know, from the bottom of my heart, I'm so fervent with sharing this gospel so that you can all receive spiritual faith. You know, this church, as you all know, is famous. So many people, so many worldly people are focused on our church. We've received so much, you know, misunderstandings about our church. You know, worldly people and other people that are against our church, so many of them say that we've said this or we've done this when we haven't. So many misunderstandings that, you know, we're making things up, but we were not. How can we make up all of these different testimonies shared so far? So, you know, what do some people say? at the end of the day, they say, oh yeah, some people at Manmin Central Church have received healings. But if you really believe that, you wouldn't be able to say it in that tone. You should be fervent. You should be wondrous of all the miraculous works at this church. And what did the pastor emeritus say? Some people say that, you know, they received healing through God, not through Pastor Emeritus. And Pastor Emeritus says what you used to say, of course it's God. Of course God heals. I didn't heal. It's always God that heals. But how did God heal? Through Pastor Emeritus. So even now, how do you receive healing? It's through the divine healing meeting. It's through the servant of God's prayer. Pastor Emeritus has always preached that it's God who heals. So now when we have our divine healing meetings and I pray at the altar, it is God who heals through my prayer. So what does that mean? It means that God, who is not visible to our naked eye, is alive. It means that heaven and hell is true. It truly exists. It means that judgment day will come. So on judgment day, we must not enter hell. We must not receive the judgment of going to hell. But, you know, some people don't want to believe that. Why? Because if you believe that God is alive, then you need to put in the effort to get rid of worldly joys. You need to put in the effort of going to church. So even though you hear that God is alive, if you know that if you believe and accept that God is truly alive, then you need to get rid of all the lustful pleasures of the world. So you don't even try to believe. You don't even try to listen. Some people listen to God's word and use their own thoughts and judge. This word is right, this word isn't right, this part is correct, this part isn't correct. So no matter how much they hear the word, it's difficult to spiritually understand. Their hearts don't acknowledge God. They doubt and judge even when presented with clear evidence. They continue to doubt, even after witnessing signs and wonders, works of power that only God can perform. Some see family members being healed from incurable diseases and brought back from death's door, but still don't believe. So when some people testify that they received healing from a church when, you know, medicine couldn't help them, then you should accept the fact that they received healing from the church, but they don't. They just say it's, you know, it's luck, it's chance. Some people say, there are people in the world that say and make up stories about, you know, receiving healings through meditation or, you know, completely absurd reasons. They put in the effort to not believe. But in the Bible is a person who's the very example of a hardened heart. It's Pharaoh, who did not believe in God despite witnessing the 10 plagues during the Exodus. Each time a great plague came upon Egypt, Pharaoh promised to let God's people go. We need to think, when God put a great plague, Pharaoh acknowledged that God was the one who gave the great plague. But the fact that Pharaoh did not believe, we need to reflect upon our own Christian lives as well. You know, in our heads, we believe. You know, we say that we believe. We say that God is alive. And we acknowledge that through, you know, pastors, through servants of God, through Pastor Emeritus, through myself even, that God's works have been manifested. But even if we acknowledge it, does that mean it's true faith? The Bible says that faith leads to actions. So if you truly believe in God, then you would keep the Sabbath day holy. But if you don't have these basic actions of faith, then it's not faith. It's not true faith. Pharaoh was the same. Pharaoh acknowledged that these plagues were from God. Which is why, as Moses asked, Pharaoh did let the Israelites go. But afterwards, Pharaoh would end up chasing them back. What does this mean? Does it mean that the Pharaoh believed and then didn't believe? No, it means that there's a difference between actually, between knowing, just in your head, acknowledging, and actually truly believing. So the Pharaoh acknowledged. But doesn't mean he believed, truly believed, which is why Pharaoh was stubborn or labeled as stubborn. When there was a great plague, Pharaoh said that he'd let the Israelites go. And when the plague stopped, the Pharaoh retracted his words and stopped the Israelites from leaving. Pharaoh was only concerned with putting out the immediate fire and did not acknowledge God in his heart. It's truly unfortunate. What is even more unfortunate? You know, it's not God's fault when Pharaoh, when his army perished in the Red Sea. It's because Pharaoh had a stubborn heart. It's because Egypt had a stubborn heart and didn't truly believe in God. So, you know, sometimes through trials, we end up meeting God. So the trials become blessings. So all of these opportunities, why is it that some of us, like Pharaoh, do not believe or put in the effort to not believe in God until the day that we have to experience severe trials like Pharaoh and the great plagues? What's even more unfortunate is when a person has a heart like the path. These people need to put in the effort to have faith. But effort is barely visible. Some people testify that they, you know, their first day at church, this gospel of holiness enters straight through their heart. Some Christians come to our church and say that these words of holiness is something that they've never heard before at their old churches. These true words of life are words that they've never heard before, even despite being Christian for many years. Some people receive great grace as soon as they come to church. So you need to think, have you been a Christian at our church for 10, 20, 30 odd years and still sleep during sermon? During worship time? So, you know, we've got back in the day in the children's Sunday worship, there are even praise and worship times, songs regarding cultivating the heart field. There are even worldly people who know a little bit about cultivating the heart field. So are we just listening on the surface and not looking back at our own hearts? and putting in the effort, putting in the action to really cultivate the heart field? Do we just say with our mouths that God is alive, that God does have power, but we don't act according to God's word? We don't live according to God's word. These are all aspects that we need to look back on. How much of our faith is true faith? We need to put in the effort. We need to put in the action. But every time, you know, many doze and have doubts, judgment, distracting thoughts during worship, even after attending church for years or decades. Some experience no grace and see no change. When you hear the gospel, open your heart and accept the Lord as Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. But some people, even though they receive the Holy Spirit, they end up changing their heart and they end up becoming the path. Opening your heart slightly is easy, and you can receive and experience the Holy Spirit. But when you do that, it doesn't mean that you're not a path-like field. You must continue that and be transformed. Sometimes you open your heart a little bit, receive the Holy Spirit, and then close the heart's door, which means the Holy Spirit, it disappears. So if you say that you've experienced the Holy Spirit, don't just neglect today's words. You know, you experiencing the Holy Spirit might have happened years ago. Just, you know, all it is your memory. Have you met God? Have you experienced the Holy Spirit, but not now? And this is something that you need to reflect upon, because these are all characteristics of a path-like heart field. When the seed, the word, falls on the heart field, it doesn't sprout. Eventually, the birds come and devour the seed. This means you've listened to the gospel of holiness. You've listened to God's word. But if you listen to it, and there's nothing left in your brain afterwards, this is a path-like field. What does the birds eating the seed mean? It means that Satan snatches away the word. Jesus explains in Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown, what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. Even if you hear the word of heaven, God's spiritual word, the enemy, devil, and Satan comes and takes it away if you don't understand it. Let's take an example. Let's look at an example of how Satan steals the word. Some people don't possess true spiritual faith, but still come to church on Sundays for reasons like urging of family members. When they come and listen to the word, it enters their minds. Especially if you, you know, listen with purpose. Let's say a person hears that those who keep the Sabbath holy will be blessed. But as soon as this person returns home, someone close, like a relative, friend, or neighbor who doesn't believe in God, approaches them as if they'd been waiting and say things like, you know, why do you go to church? It's a hassle. What do you even get out of going? If I had time, I'd rather sleep more. Or they might say, starting next week, let's, you know, go hiking. Let's have fun. Let's watch a game. We should enjoy our day off and relax. These, you know, outsiders try to make you rest and lead you away. And in this situation, a person with a path-like heart usually gives in. Though their hearts were beginning to open and considering to keep the Lord's Day holy, their hearts shut again. It's why there's no room for faith to take root. Similarly, Satan uses close or trustworthy people to keep you from believing the word. But it's not only unbelievers who play the role of the bird. Sometimes those who claim to believe in God turn out to be a bird under a Satan's influence. These people might say, you don't have to go to church every single week. If you have something to do, it's okay to miss it. Your church takes things way too seriously. And these days, people might say, oh, your church is a bit weird. It's strange. They might say they believe in God, but just like the bird devouring the seed, they distort the truth and hinder others from having true faith. But if you keep returning to church despite these temptations, there's hope in having true faith. The problem is that some stop attending church altogether and even go as far as to persecute other family members living a faithful life. A path like heart doesn't only refer to extreme cases. Some appear to be active in faith but have hearts like the path. These are people who come to church for their own benefit. What's the true purpose of our Christian life? It's to have spiritual faith and receive salvation. But some attend church for the business or social aspect. Some go to church to enjoy personal satisfaction by serving, to live a morally upright life, or to manage their public image in the community. For these people, it's difficult to develop a mustard seed sized faith even after years of hearing God's word. It's because they're not living according to God's word, but according to their own thoughts and desires. Even when they hear testimonies like, I was healed by God's power, or my problem was resolved, they consider it unrelatable. Because, you know, it's not like they're lacking in life. So they don't really care about other people's testimonies. But even if you don't have any problems in life, you're not sick, you don't have any illnesses, you still need to listen to other people's testimonies and, you know, reflect upon it. Because this is evidence of God's presence. It's evidence of the living God. So if you acknowledge that God is alive, then you need to reflect upon all these spiritual testimonies to have true faith. So all of it is God's works. So it needs to be accepted with joy and faith. But, you know, many people close their spiritual ears and eyes. And these people don't have true hope for the kingdom of heaven. They can only remain as a path-like field. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law in Jesus' time had similar hearts. Outwardly, they appeared to be the most devout believers in God. But if they had possessed true faith, they would not have failed to recognize Jesus, the Son of God. As their hearts were hardened like the path and entirely consumed by the flesh, they could not understand the spiritual words or works, no matter how often they heard or saw it. What about you? You know, some of you have lived a Christian life at this church for so many years. Are you really receiving grace? What about the words during worship services? How much of the words that I preach on this altar is left in your heart? Why? Because these words is the seed. But how much of the seed do you actually plant in your heart, in the soil? The seed must grow to become alive, but if you don't plant the seed, then how can it grow? How can it have life? Next week is the rocky path, but, you know, if you don't even receive grace, then your heart is like a path, a hardened path. Then you need to think about and reflect upon why you're not receiving grace. Is it because your heart is closed? Is it because of your fleshly thoughts? Is it because you're judging, you're doubting, or condemning whilst listening to the Word of God? You know, how can you have works of the Spirit? How can you make sure that the Holy Spirit is more alive within you? So how can a heart like the path be cultivated? The hardened heart must be broken up and the clods of soil crushed to become a soft and receptive heart. You must break down your self-righteousness and frameworks. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Many of the knowledge and values from the world oppose God. The theory of evolution is one example. Casting off worldly knowledge and theories can open the mind and the door to the heart. Then you can receive God's word. A person with a heart like the path has knowledge and worldly values so firmly ingrained through life that they're unable to accept the word. It's the belief that they're right. It's too strong, and this mindset must be broken. To break down self-righteousness and frameworks, you must first break the evil in your own heart. This framework, this self-righteousness and fleshly thoughts are points that must be broken. It impacts the faith that you have. And of course, this area of self-righteousness and frameworks and fleshly thoughts does apply more towards the new believers who are just receiving the word or just listening to the word and trying to come before the Lord. But some of us, you know, have a path-like field even after being a Christian for many years. And they don't even put in the effort. You don't put in the effort to break down self-righteousness and frameworks. Why? Because you haven't broken the evil in your own heart. If pride, stubbornness, self-esteem, or deceit exist, it becomes very difficult to break down self-righteousness and frameworks. For example, evil in the heart continues to activate fleshly thoughts and prevents you from believing the word. A person with much deceit in the heart is filled with suspicion, even when they speak the truth. Romans 8:7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it. It becomes difficult to say amen. Casting off evil and the belief that you're right is not an easy task. The path usually hardens after being trampled over and over for many years. A hardened path-like heart is the same. It's a heart hardened over many years through untruth and evil. Some are very stubborn at first, but faithfully live fervently than others once they receive grace and have their hearts wide open. This is when the outer heart is hard, but the inner core is soft. A path-like heart is different. It's hardened from deep within. If a hard outer heart with a soft inside is like a layer of ice just beneath the surface, a path-like heart is like thick, solid ice frozen all the way through. It's difficult to completely break a heart like the path in a short amount of time. You must repeatedly break and cultivate. No matter how hard the rock, it'll eventually crack and break if you drill a hole and keep hammering it. The path is the same. As it's so hard, you must first drill a hole to form a crack. For example, whenever the word conflicts with your thoughts, you should ask yourself, is my thinking and knowledge truly correct? And examine yourself. You must diligently do acts of goodness so God can give you grace. Sometimes those who've lived a long life of faith still pray for true faith. They get frustrated in the lack of spiritual faith despite seeing miracles and hearing countless words. Long-time Christians who seek help are hopeful. It's far better than making no effort at all. For those with a path-like heart, personal effort is important, but family, church workers must continuously pray and guide them as well. Eventually, the seed of the word will sprout. Dear brothers and sisters, regardless of how much fruit a seed bears, we should be grateful that the seed has sprouted, that true faith has taken root. No matter how much God's power and the gospel are preached, all the labor and tears become rewarding when a seemingly closed-hearted person suddenly says that they want to go to church. How great is the reward in heaven for the evangelist if these people become wheat with works of healing and problems answered through God's amazing power. As the day of our Lord's coming draws near, the number of people with hearts like the path is increasing. We must diligently evangelize and pray so that souls with a path-like heart can receive salvation. You know, it's the end times where we need to put in more effort, more diligence. But God also gives more grace as well. So when you evangelize, you know, God allows you to meet people with their hearts open. So let's fervently evangelize and spread the gospel of holiness. By God's limitless power, may you diligently cultivate the soil of your own heart. And if, you know, it's a blessing if you've realized that you've got characteristics of a path-like heart field. And God is giving us the strength to cultivate so that when you yield, when you sow, you can yield 30, 60, or 100-fold what you sow.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis, go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat, go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast up sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as they're so prosperous and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.